Maybe you're too old. Maybe that's the problem.
Get the hell off my lawn anyway.
There have been recorded incidents where teams have done a crew wave, which is when everyone lays down in the boat, and then one by one sits up.
When you drop a 71-foot putt on a green that breaks three different directions, and the hole is a foot lower than where you let the ball go, and you pump your fist, good for you. Take a pee on the green.
Baby, check this out.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to everyone about anything. I am the Fabulous Penguin.
And I'm Max.
And we have a couple of guests today. One for just a couple of minutes, and one we just can't seem to get rid of. That's a College Boy and Manhattan Man. So, College Boy is here to tell us a story to kick off episode number 88. It is Monday, March 23rd, 2009.
When are you going to go with the 20s?
2009? I hate that.
It's 2009.
I like 20,000 and 2009.
Okay.
Anyway,
we got
College
a quadraphonic
boy.
Special today.
We do. A quadraphonic. Quadraphenia, that's us.
Yep.
College Boy, you got a couple of stories for us. We haven't had you on in a while, so better to make them good.
All right. Well, which story would we like first?
Oh, either one. Go with the both. Whatever one you.
We don't know them, so you're gonna have to pick.
Right. All right. Well, we'll go with how Ariana became Liz, and this started out as quite an innocent night, Saturday night, on the campus of the college that I attend, where there were a few friends hanging out, trying to figure out what their nightly plans were. And it seemed as though most of the parties that we heard about were either lame or busted. And so we had no idea what we wanted to do instead. And instead of staying in for the night, myself and another friend of mine decided that we wanted to go to the strip club. Now, the strip club in Ithaca is quite interesting. I have never been, but everything that I've heard about it has said that it is not your normal strip club. normal being
club.
Attractive
it,
women.
Isn't Ithaca proper?
No, it is just outside city limits.
They made them put it outside the city limits,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So myself and my friend Brendan decided that we were going to do this, and we decided that we were going to convince some of our friends to come with us. So we walked down to two of my female friends' room, knocked on their door, and convinced them that it was a good idea for them to come along as well.
See, I've heard this. I've gone to strip clubs when I was your age, but I never brought a date. I had the decency to be ashamed of myself.
No.
You
we,
got three females.
Three females in the end. So therefore, the females actually outnumbered the males that were in attendance. We get there and, you know, do the creepy stand along in the corner while we're, you know,
was
checking
it
the place
crowded?
Out, figuring things out. None of us had been, but like I said, I've heard about it from a bunch of my friends.
Starkly empty.
It was actually not crowded at all. Right, and which we later found out was normal, because you get the 7 o'clock rush and the midnight rush, and we got there about 11:30, so we were just in between the rushes. So, started out pretty innocently. We grabbed some seats, not on the stage, but off the stage, and started to, you know, mix and mingle with some of the attractive young ladies that were working. One of them in particular seemed to, you know, take a fancy to the five of us that were sitting there, named Ariana. And she sat with us for probably a half an hour, just sitting, talking, And I was trying to think of somebody that she reminded me of, but I couldn't at all. I would have to say she was very spacey, and she was, you know, trying all her might to pay attention, but was not whatsoever. but she sat with us for a while there were very unattractive women on stage, and she actually was attractive, so hence the reason that we, you know, had her stay. And then one of my friends, Brendan, decided that he wanted her to give him his private dance. So they went off into the back, and about 5 or so minutes later, came back and just continued hanging out. And they seemed to kind of hit it off, which was interesting, to say the least.
She really liked me.
Do you know how many men say, no, she really likes me, when they leave a strip club? Do you know how many you can...
You owe me a beer, Max.
It's a rite of passage. So, no, I'm serious, man. She's into me.
Got kind of bored sitting by the stage, so decided to go play pool and brought her along with us. And so, you know, we were kind of just hanging out playing pool. And then everyone else, myself and three girls, went back into the stage area while Brendan and the stripper decided to continue talking. And Brendan came back to us a little later on and said, she just gave me her number. And we said, she just gave you her number? And he said, yeah, her name is Liz, not Ariana. We said, she really gave you her number? And he said, yeah, well, you know, I was shocked too, because I was kind of nervous when we were giving the private dance, and she kept saying things that I didn't really know what she wanted to hear. But he went on, and she said, you know, this is really against policy, and I shouldn't be doing this, but give me a call sometime. Needless to say, as we left the club, the trash can was right outside the door, and the number is sitting there.
And she'll wonder why he never calls. They never call me.
Man.
Yes. So good that was you. quite the time.
And that's how Ariana became Liz. A long time. Now, you got another one for us, having to do with Cornell.
And this is things not to say to the 7-foot black man who may or may not be the starting center for the Cornell basketball team. Again, starting out as an incident, innocent knight, I was not along for this trip. This is a friend of mine that was telling me this story afterwards. And this was out, this is an older friend of mine who's actually 21, when it's out at one of the local bars on Saturday night. And was, you know, after a long night of drinking, standing in line to go to the bathroom. Apparently there was quite a long line, so he was standing there for about 10 minutes waiting to go, when an extremely large man stood behind him, waited for the door to open, and pushed on through, going into the bathroom. And now, as he was coming out, you know, he was upset that he waited 10 minutes, and
cut
the line,
right?
So he said, you know, come on, man, what's going on? You can't cut the line like that. And the guy said, I'm 7 feet tall. And he said, how'd that work out against Missouri? Needless to say, it didn't go over very well.
I bet.
And a few minutes later, he was out on his ass on the in the cold Ithaca concrete.
And right. He still had a peep.
But at least he got the last laugh.
Oh, yeah. That's the victory shot for sure.
That is ballsy. That is great.
It is.
If I could have said that, I would have said I would
someday.
Have either said that or have you met my friend Liz? One or the other. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
if
either one
if
of those
anyone I know would have said that, it would be Manhattan Man.
Yeah, pretty much.
You've done dumber things than that.
Yes, with you in the car.
and you have the scars to prove it, right?
I know exactly what he's talking about, too. That's funny.
No, actually, you don't. Because I wasn't in the car for the one I'm thinking of.
All right.
I heard about the one where he was in the car. That was the trip without brakes, right?
Oh, yeah, but that was my fault. That wasn't anything he did.
Oh, okay. And, well, you knocked down a police barrier and
that was my
put
fault
it up
too.
And knocked it down again.
That involved a little cranberry bar.
Right? But I believe, isn't that the true story? I mean, you
knocked
it down, you got
out,
you put
it back
up, and then you backed over it again?
That's a true story. And then we went to Drunken Donuts, where we saw the cops. Fortunately, they were more interested in the donuts than they were in my driving record.
So, Max, why don't you take us on a little episode ramble here? What do you
got
for us tonight?
My first... I don't know what particular order we want to do these in. Maybe we don't need to spend too much time on this one. But first thing on my list is sports and good sportsmanship. In particular, I saw a goal in a hockey game scored by Milan Hajduk the other day, after which he did a dive, literally faked a dive onto the ice, and then pretended to be swimming. And Alex Ovechkin, after he scored his 50th goal, did something that I couldn't quite figure out what it was he was doing, but it kind of looked like he was bouncing a basketball. But again, an exaggerated celebration. And to me, this is more sports bullshit, professional athletes stuck on themselves. And I watched the show Hockey Night in New York, and I wish I could tell you who the guy was that said it. But he said, "I respect and admire his exuberance." And I'm like, bullshit. This is poor sportsmanship. And they had some other hockey players around, and they're like, "Well, yeah, you know, you do what you want, and then you wait and see if somebody takes a run at you," which was kind of, I can't think of the guy's name again. Butch Goring. That was Butch Goring's attitude, you know. This gets taken care of on the ice. But I wondered if you guys had any comment on fancy celebrating in hockey.
In hockey only? Are we only allowed to talk about hockey?
Yeah, well, and or sports
in
general.
I don't have a real issue with it because I find that a lot of times that people are contradictory. Like, for example, I know some people who are Yankee fans, and they will talk about Jabba Chamberlain's exuberance when he strikes out a guy to end an inning.
It's okay. The same thing. Papelbon,
right.
Chamberlain.
Right. Well,
bullshit.
You know, then if that's the way you feel, I mean, you know, if you feel that way, then that's okay. But, you know, you can't say that Jabba's okay and Papelbon isn't. You know, I hate that Papelbon because
no, you can't.
You know, a lot of guys.
He rubs
right,
it in
a
our
lot
face.
Of guys. I read a lot of Red Sox fan stuff on some of their bulletin boards, and they will crucify Derek Jeter for the fist pump and rationalize Jonathan Papelbon for the same thing. And that's where you're wrong. It's either okay or not okay.
But that's part of the reason that I started to not like Tiger Woods as early as I started to not like him.
You didn't like Tiger Woods when he was 7 years old, I don't think.
That's not true. That's not true. I thought he was very cool when he was an amateur. Until I saw him do that up yours fist pump. And I went, you know, especially in golf. That ain't right. So.
But isn't that a part of sports?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm old.
I guess. Maybe you're too old. Maybe that's the problem.
Get the hell off my lawn anyway.
And you don't think they were doing that 50 years ago?
I'm sure they were not doing that 50 years ago.
Oh, come on.
I completely disagree.
Babe Ruth?
Babe Ruth was 100 years ago.
You point to center field, and you say, "I'm going to hit it
he
there."
He never did
but that's
that.
Not grandstanding.
He didn't do that. He said,
There's videos of it.
He said, "I'm going to knock your fucking head off." He was pointing at the pitcher.
Well, that's just as bad.
They fought.
Isn't it?
Ty Cobb
sharpened his spikes, supposedly.
Pete Rose,
I hated because he did that shit.
But the fact is he did it. You said it wasn't done. P- Pete Rose is the mid 70s and
Rose
it was
is
done.
One of the first.
It's always
Pete Rose is one of the first.
It's always it's always been done. And I think the reason that it's a story is because you'd like to think that hockey, you'd like to hold hockey to a higher standard. And generally speaking, hockey players play within themselves. But I would suggest that the reason that happens is because they are already playing an extremely physically involved game. It doesn't hold true in the NFL. But if anyone is entitled to an expression of their greatness, it's Alex Ovechkin. There's no doubt about
it.
I do think it has a place in sport because everybody wants to make the argument that, oh my God, the Yankees bought $200 billion and don't they know it's a game? Well, if it's a game, it's played with emotion and I as a player have an opportunity to show my emotion.
To show up the other team.
Yes, I do. You know why? Because at that moment, I'm performing at a level that's better.
Yeah, but I don't like it. Very much don't like it.
What's it? How is that different than, you know, if Bob Gibson, say 1964,
Bob Gibson would knock your head off if you did that shit.
Right, absolutely. So isn't that showing up the other guy? If I hit a home run off you, you stick the next one in my ear? Isn't that showing me up?
It's not showing
all
you up.
I did was all I sure it is because all I did was my job. My job is to hit home runs. You threw the ball. I hit a home run. I run around the bases. I go back to the dugout. I didn't do anything. Next time I come up, you hit me in the ear.
Yeah, DeJesus has to take one in the chin because somebody went deep on Gibson. That's no better or worse than Ovechkin or a fist pump on a golf
course.
Well,
no, I'm not advocating beanballs, and I don't agree with your assessment that a beanball is the same thing as a celebration. But I don't approve of either one.
Chief Fab says it right. He says you're showing up the other guy, and you are. And in baseball, in Gibson's case, it's worse because he's another batter. And you gave up the long ball, schmuck. So why does this next innocent have to take one in the head?
No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't.
It's just as bad.
Well, yeah, it's worse because you could kill him. But it...
Sure, but I mean, it doesn't have to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be anything that serious. I think the issue is that that's the way baseball always took care of that thing. If somebody showed you up...
The next guy got it. It happened.
You know, or if somebody hit a home run off you, if you call that showing you up, you know, you caught the next one. Isn't that the line in Field of Dreams? When the kid is getting his at-bats and he comes back and he says, the pitcher's throwing at me? And he says to him, you know, what do you think the next pitch is going to be, low and outside or in your ear, one or the other?
Watch out for in your ear. let's ask College Boy. Is there any show of emotion if you guys beat Hartwick by 3/4 of a boat? What do you do, turn to the other boat and bow and say, very well done, gentlemen? Come on.
No.
What did Cortland do when they kicked your
Cornell.
Ass this past last
Easy,
week? Cornell,
not
yeah.
That's a whole other story.
Right.
No, I mean, it's rowing's a little different because there isn't all that much you can do. And by the time you finish a piece, you're just so dead from it that you kind of fall over.
Right.
But there have been recorded incidents where teams have done a crew wave, which is when everyone lays down in the boat. And then one by one sits up.
And what does that mean?
I like that.
It's nothing. It doesn't. I mean, it's not really showboating or anything.
Well, I'm on record as being with the Mickey Mantle School of Success. You put your head down and you run around the bases.
Uh huh. Yeah, but I wonder how many times did Yogi Berra or Roger Maris catch one in the ribs because Mickey hit a homer.
It may well have happened. That's true. But I'm not advocating.
You know?
It's a false association. I don't agree with beanballs.
Right.
I never said it was
right,
a fan of beanballs.
But I got to tell you that anybody that's making a case for Mantle as the paragon of sportsmen, you'd be kidding me.
On-field sportsmanship. Mickey Mantle was my paragon of on-field sportsmanship. Watch the video.
I don't know about that.
Anyway.
Was he hungover? Is that why his head was down?
Was he hungover?
I'm
was
serious.
He still drunk?
Of course he was
serious.
Hungover.
I don't think you can. Yes, he did. I don't think that you can.
I can. And further, furthermore.
Of course he was hungover. He was Max's paragon.
In the 60s, that shit didn't happen. And it started with people like Pete Rose. I think it's that new.
Huh.
And it's gone way out of hand since then, to the point where Mia and Hayduke is doing the crawl on the ice.
Didn't Jimmy Pearsall run the
yes,
bases backwards
Jimmy Pearsall
after he had
certifiable.
A home run at Shea Stadium?
He was certified.
That was 1960. Well, that was 10, 15
if it was
years
Pete
before
Rose,
Pete Rose.
It's 40 years ago, Max.
Yeah.
It's 30 anyway.
It was the end of his career.
30,
when
yeah.
When he started slamming the ball into the ground, he was with Phillies. But he was still a pariah at that point. He was an asshole.
Al Roboski was doing that in the 70s.
Lou Piniella is different. Lou Piniella was not about showing people up. Lou Piniella was about losing his fucking mind.
Well, Lou Piniella was about showing people up, just not the opposing team.
No. Lou Piniella was out of control when he does his explosions. And it's yelling at umpires, and it's visceral. It's not something he practiced in front of a mirror.
I don't know that every expression of emotion that a professional athlete has is practiced. And I've seen some over-the-top shit. I guarantee you that pulling a Sharpie out of your sock in the end zone is premeditated. But I don't think that every act that looks over the top means this is pre-staged and rehearsed.
No, I'm not saying every act.
And the fact of the matter is, in the boardroom, you do not get to do this. So it is the one place where I believe that you do get to do it because you are physically emoting at a physical activity.
Actual spontaneous celebrations like Yogi Berra jumping on Don Larson at the end of his perfect game, I'll give you.
I'm talking about Papelbon and Jabba. They believe it. They feel it. They want that slider to break a foot and a half, and when you strike out the guy with the bases loaded and you pump your fist, good for you. When you drop a 71-foot putt on a green that breaks three different directions and the hole is a foot lower than where you let the ball go and you pump your fist, good for you. Take a pee on the green.
Did you see the guy, speaking about weird golfers, did you see the guy who took off almost all of his clothes the other day to hit a ball out of the mud? He literally was standing there in his white undershorts. He took off his shirt to hit a ball out of ankle-deep mud.
And you don't think that's appropriate
either.
Talk
about your sportsmanship, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It was some golfer I'd never heard of.
As long as it wasn't Phil Mickelson, it was okay. I have to tell you, just to go slightly off topic, my absolute favorite Bob Gibson story is one that he told to Jim Rome.
I have a Bob Gibson
when
story.
Jim Rome's radio show was big. And he, Bob Gibson said that one time he was on the highway and some guy cut him off. Yeah. And he followed the guy for a mile and a half. And when the guy pulled off and pulled into a gas station, he pulled into the gas station
and
beat the crap out of him in the parking lot.
Right?
This is what he's telling Rome. Well, Rome said, well, how old did this happen when you were, a young kid? He said, no, I was 64.
Bill White tells a story about going to the pitcher's mound to talk to Bob Gibson. And Gibson says, what are you doing here? The only thing you know about pitching is that you can't hit it.
Oh!
Moving on. I got a couple of stories here. You want to go politics or science?
Go science.
All right. Did you see the story, a little tiny story about pigs in China? They've some pigs in the southern province of Guangdong have been given clenbuterol, which makes them thinner. And it's making people sick. 70 people got sick. 15 people were arrested. And the thing that was a kicker to me about this story was the news reporter said some of the pigs had to be buried alive.
Huh. I don't know.
I don't know. That's it. That's all I got.
Well, maybe I should say, you are.
I got two comments about this story. Number one, could the Chinese please come up with better names than Dung and Wang and Wang and all those kind of things? Okay, that's besides the point, though. The other one is that what makes them a backward nation? Because in our country, we give our pigs drugs to make them bigger. Whereas in China, they give them drugs to make them thinner?
Well, it makes them more lean. And... Right.
Jack Sprat could eat no fat, right?
Right. Well, he needed some clenbuterol.
It wasn't Mao Zedong could eat no fat, though, you know? Do you realize that we actually had a conscious discussion before the podcast because we were concerned about saying black man? And here we are, right. 28
talking
minutes
later.
Talking
about wangs and okay? dungs.
Okay, did I ever tell people? You what I heard about pigs' penises, as long as we're on this intellectual topic? I heard this, I swear. I was watching one of those.
FML, anime. Boys. FML.
This is true from like some, you know, scientific channel. I don't know why I was watching a show on pigs breeding, but I was. And the guy said something to the effect of the interesting...
And you wonder why nobody listens to our podcast. Because we're too busy watching shows about pigs breeding. I mean, come on. I'm sorry,
Max.
Go ahead.
The interesting thing about a pig's penis is not that it's 15 inches long and shaped like a corkscrew. It's that it actually rotates while he's using it.
All right, now this is interesting because I wanted to bring this up since we were on the topic. Now we know why pigs come for 30 minutes. It's true.
Is that true?
They just keep shaking. Now we know why.
I didn't know that. Is that really true?
That, I'm not kidding. As soon as you said pig penis, I said, this is great. Here's my opportunity to bring up little known fact number 93 about the 30-minute orgasm.
But I think right. I've also discovered why they came up with the term screwed, huh?
I guess. What I really want to know, Manhattan Man, is how long you carried that story around in the back of your mind waiting for an opportunity. And secondly, what kind of opportunity did you think you were going to get to talk about that?
Only slightly longer than all polar bears are left-handed. This is also true.
You got both in one show.
I was brought to a livestock auction outside of Moorhead, Kentucky, and the two gentlemen who brought me...
Would there be a more appropriately named place?
they knew very well I was a city boy, and I was trying to make my way in the country world, and they told me that I had to get two piglets out of the back of this truck. And there were about 11 piglets, but there was also... a 700-pound mother sow in the truck with hay and mud and pig shit.
Oh, no.
So I hopped up there, and they said, got to get them by the tail, because if you ever try to pick up a 2-week-old baby pig around the middle, forget about it. So the only choice you have is this little stump of a tail. But the mother would shift about 400 pounds of her hip in my direction and just knock me right across the truck whenever I tried to pick up her kids.
I am sorry, I didn't see that.
two guys.
You know, I think I saw that same story on Fuck My Life.
The two guys stood at the back today. Of the truck and just laughed, and I didn't find it quite as funny as
did you get the piglets out?
The guy came up and got them eventually.
He reached over the side of the truck and grabbed the pig and lifted him over.
Did not complete the task.
Right, when they were done laughing at you.
All right, Penguin.
So, Max, why don't we add a serious note to this and switch to politics?
Well, as far as politics go, I got a couple of things. First of all, the Congress has passed a bill taxing the AIG bonuses at 90%. It's a special bill, and I think it's not only probably illegal, but it's a really bad idea. Not because these guys deserve the money, but because anybody that wants to deal with the United States is going to be in fear of having a special tax to get the money back. What do you guys think?
Charlie Gibson did say tonight that it has very little support in the Senate. It will fail. It will go away. It's not going to come up before the recess, and then the chances are they feel that it will die in committee, even though a lot of us are outraged about it. It was, I think, a knee-jerk reaction to a bad situation. It was not thought out, and that's not the way to get the money back.
No, it's posturing. And these guys spent a whole week posturing. I think they could have been doing something better.
What I don't understand is why they didn't put something in the original bailout.
Well, they did, and then they took it out.
That said that you can't use this stuff for bonuses.
They took it out. Yeah.
I know. So that's my question. Why isn't that in the original?
That the Treasury asked them to take it out. Because they thought there was going to be a problem with lawsuits if they kept the people from getting their money. But I say, let the bastards sue the United States. The United States gave them $16 billion. Go ahead.
Right.
Put that in front of a jury and see who wins.
Right. Let the guy stand up and say, I ran the company into the ground, but I still deserve my $128 million
bonus. That's a no-brainer. Make them sue us. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't understand why it wasn't in the original bill. And I don't think that it's necessarily right to try to get it.
No, it's a bad precedent. We can't run around just making up laws to do after-the-fact shit. There's no ex post facto laws. It's a bad idea.
Right. One thing that I've learned in the last 50-some-odd years, is that these guys who write these bills, these laws, and things like that, very rarely do they know what they're doing.
All you have to do is have a car dealership and a connection, and you can get in Congress. You know, it's just a little bit of money. You don't have to have a brain or actually know what the United States Constitution says.
There's a bill that's up in for Congress right now. Has to deal with chemicals and organic foods. And I don't know a whole lot about it, so I don't want to get into this really big discussion about it. But essentially, they tried to write this bill, and what they were trying to do in this bill was to not allow companies to, put out these organic, call things organic that had been That if you had a plant that was genetically altered, that you couldn't call that organic. That was the purpose of it. Because I guess Monsanto is right on the cusp of having this huge thing with some crops genetically altered. And that's what they were trying to do with this law. But the way the law is written, basically, it's going to subject organic farmers to reams and reams of paperwork and all this stuff to kind of, they have to do certain things to call it organic anyway. So, to me it seems really weird that the guy who's down the road from us here where I live, who grows organic string beans, has to answer to the same kind of questions that this giant multinational company Monsanto does because they're genetically altering crops. The way it's written, it affects all organic farmers, not just what they were trying to accomplish. Well, listen, as always, lots of fun, lots of laughs. College boy, it was good talking to you. So, listen, you got to catch up on our episodes.
Today, I listened to 43 episodes of Countless Screaming Argonauts. Fuck my life. Yeah.
Fuck my life. That's a show closer. Tonight. That was very fun. That was very fun. Which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screams.